everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Books and Video Games Podcast. Before we begin, I just want to apologize if my voice sounds scratchy. I have a bit of a cold, and, you know, I'm just going to record anyway. So this is a bit of a change for the channel. I haven't posted many episodes of this podcast, but this is my very first time I'm going to be participating in what is called Top 5 Wednesdays. What that basically is there's a group on Goodreads, and the group moderator announces topics for different every Wednesday of the month, and people participate, and they make these top 5 lists, and it seems really cool, so I want to get involved, and so I'm doing it. This is the first one. So here we go. So today, January 25th, the topic is Favorite Underrated Books. What I'm going to be doing this episode is going through 5 books that I think either they've been in the spotlight and I think they get a little too much hate, or they haven't been in the spotlight and maybe they've been critiqued a little bit too much, or they just don't get enough love at all. These are in no particular order. Let's begin. So the first book I'm going to talk about is A Feast for Crows by George R.R. Martin. So this title probably stands out to everybody watching this or listening to this because it is the 4th book in the popular series A Song of Ice and Fire. And this book is popularly known as the one that people skip a lot of times. People claim that this book is dull because there's a lot of character chapters that are new, like the perspectives are different, and there's a lot of stuff, like our favorite characters aren't there, so this book does not have Tyrion, it does not have Daenerys, it does not have Davos. There's just a ton of character chapters missing, and the reason for that is because that when George R.R. Martin was writing these books, he ended up splitting one book in half. And so he put some character perspectives in one book and some in another. So that's why a lot of times when you see book groups, you'll see them called A Feast with Dragons, I think they call it, because they put the books in the proper order that you're supposed to read them. So basically the idea is that chapter one of A Feast for Crows aligns with the 5th book, Chapter 1 of A Dance of Dragons. Going into this book, I was a little worried and hesitant, but I found it to be just as intriguing and inviting as any A Song of Ice and Fire book is. I mean, I love all 5 of these books. I cannot wait for the 6th one to come out. And just because the character perspectives were different, you know, I did go into it thinking, oh great, I don't know this character, I'm a little nervous. But I think that George R.R. Martin's writing goes beyond that idea that just because a new character is introduced, we get bored. You know, I think what people fail to see is while this is a very character-driven novel or book series, it is focused on the bigger issue, which is war, basically, and politics and deception. It's about Westeros, it's about who is going to be sitting on the Iron Throne. And so I think that these chapters, that this book exists to further that idea that we want to see who's going on the Iron Throne. We want to see what's going on in other places where other people are being deceptive, and quite frankly, I find it to be really interesting, and I enjoyed this book a little more than A Dance with Dragons, and I know that's a very controversial statement, but I thought it was awesome, so definitely an underrated book. Next on my list is Bonjour Tristesse by Françoise Sagan. I apologize if I mispronounced that name. This book, I don't know how popular it is. I saw a picture of the text online one day, and I looked it up and found it and read it. It's a very short book. It's actually translated into English. It was originally written in French. Written by a girl who I believe was 16 when she wrote it. Don't quote me on that. And it's known to be very controversial because know, the fact that the girl was 16 when she wrote it, and she wrote it really quickly, and it's very scandalous. Has a lot of sex in it, a lot of just scandalous things for the time. You know, I found the book to be enchanting and very gripping, and I loved the characters, and as the title suggests, because the title literally translates into French as Hello Sadness, it was very, very sad. But I thought the book was really well written. I thought it was so sophisticated, especially for such a young woman to have written it. But there's a lot of critiques that say that the book is whiny, that the book is just a bit in your face, and doesn't quite reach the level of sophistication that one would desire from a book like this. And I have to disagree. I mean, I bought another book. I have not read it, but I bought another book by this author, and it's called A Certain Smile. And the reviews just say, like, it's so much better than Bonjour Tristesse, and all these things, like, of how it exceeds that book. And perhaps it does, but I think that Bonjour Tristesse just gets sometimes a bad rap, and just because they're like, oh, it's whiny, and I don't think it's whiny. I think it correlates perfectly to the voice of a teenage girl, and for that, like, I give it props, and I think it's really well written, and it's just a really good, solid book. So I would definitely consider that underrated, and I would definitely check it out. The next book on my list is The Casual Vacancy by J.K. Rowling. So this book gets a lot of flack. A lot. I think, when it came out, I don't even remember when it came out. I know I read it in 2013, I believe, but I think it was out a few years before, maybe 2011. And it wasn't a book I loved by any means, but it was a book that when I shut it, I felt, that was good. Like, it wasn't a book that I'm going to probably reread. But I thought, in terms of, you know, J.K. Rowling, what I know of her, it was a good departure from Potter. I think a lot of people have an issue with this book for a number of reasons. One is just the characters are just so unlikable. It's not even funny, and yet I'm laughing. It's kind of crazy how unlikable every single character is, that the only likable character is the one who dies in the beginning. Which is not a spoiler, so don't worry. That's the whole premise of the book. But, you know, I particularly, like, I don't find fault with this. I think it's interesting to read this book on, like, a psychological level, because it gives you a chance to look at, you know, human nature and how people react to something and when selfishness takes over. You know, everybody's out for themselves, nobody is thinking of the other person, and it's interesting looking at it with a religious perspective as well, because you have with the Harry Potter books, you have Harry as a Christ figure throughout the entire books, he's saving the world, but in this, it's very different. You have a character in Barry, who dies in the beginning, who is a Christ figure. He was selfless, he's constantly lifting people up and doing good in the community, and he dies, and suddenly that light, that Christ figure is gone, and we see what happens to people when that is gone, and I think that's just an interesting commentary. But like I said, I just think just the darkness of the novel, just the selfishness, the raunchy aspects of it, I found them all to be very intriguing. In fact, it reminds me a lot of one of my favorite television shows, Shameless on Showtime. So in that case, like, I enjoyed the book. But another thing is, I think a lot of people just don't like it because it's not like Harry Potter. And I know for a fact, like, I've listened to people, read reviews, listened to podcasts about this book, where people will literally say, like, they just don't understand that their own bias is in the way when they're like, but I wanted Harry Potter. It's like, well, you're not gonna get that. J.K. Rowling is a diverse writer. And, you know, I'm one of those people who doesn't really like the Corman Strike novels that much, but people love them. I think that Casual Vacancy is actually really good, and I think it really shows off almost a, I'm going to say Dickensian style for Rowling, though quite honestly, I think she showed that with Potter as well. But I think it's a more mature Dickensian, if you will. It's the only thing that bothers me about the book is how it was marketed, which is J.K. Rowling's first adult novel. Like, really? Shut up. Like, Harry Potter can be read by anybody. Stop being elitist. But anyway, I won't go on too much longer with this. The Casual Vacancy by J.K. Rowling, I think it's underrated. So my next book on the list is actually not a book, but a series of six books. And they're very small, so that's why I'm including them all on this list. And they are the Kit books in the American Girl Doll series by Valerie Tripp. I believe they're all by Valerie Tripp. So, you might be laughing, thinking, why did I include this on the list? American Girl books, they're not respectable in the literary community. They're just books to market little girls' dolls to further this misogynistic agenda. Well, you know, maybe that's true to a certain extent. I wouldn't say that with the American Girl dolls for the most part, but if you actually took the time to read these books, I think you'll find that that perspective is very wrong. I grew up with American Girl dolls in the sense that, you know, I knew about them, I had the magazine, I loved going on the website when we got dial-up internet, and I eventually got a doll when I was 11 years old, so I didn't really grow up with her. Like, by the time you're 11, the doll becomes less of a play toy and more something that you just sort of have on a shelf. And I still have her to this day, and I don't plan on getting rid of her, because it was a big deal having an American Girl doll, and I do still cherish having her. I know I did read one of the Kit books growing up, and I also read two of the Samantha books. I guess it was in 2012, 2013, around that time, I reread the first book, and then I reread the entire series because I was just curious, you know, of what these books were about. And honestly, I never paid attention in history class, and I thought this would be a good way to sort of introduce myself to sort of things that were going on in history so that I could build off to more complex and historical works of fiction and nonfiction. What I found when I picked up these books is that they were much more than just simple things to market dolls for little girls. They actually have a lot of character building, or I shouldn't say character building. There's a lot of, I guess they're the problems that exist for these girls. I mean, because if you know American Girl, like, there's six books in every series, and in every series, the books are all the same. It's Meet Name, so the first one in this is Meet Kit, and then Kit Learns a Lesson, Kit's Surprise, Happy Birthday Kit, Kit Saves the Day, and Changes for Kit. Just replace the name Kit with Samantha, or Addie, or Felicity, Molly, whatever. What I found interesting in this is that the girls in, well, Kit, her experiences in these books are very complex, and the book doesn't shy away from talking about certain things. That's not to say that the book takes things and, like, there's no dark turns in this book. There's no sort of grittiness to it or vulgarity. It is a children's book at heart. But I think what I really enjoyed is that the book tackled these issues like, at least for Kit, she grew up during the Depression, so what I loved is that Kit has issues going on in her life, not only because she's young, but because of the time period she's living in, and she is proactive about them, and she tries to solve them, and she does it not because of her looks, but because of her brains, and she's unique, she's different, she wants to write for a paper, she wants to be a journalist, and she's inventive, she's creative, and she's kind, and all these things are celebrated, and all of these things can exist in her. And plus, the thing is, the book doesn't shy away of looking or showing her in a bad light. She can be a brat sometimes, she can be selfish, and the book says it's okay if you're like that, like, everybody's like that. But, you know, at the heart of it, it's just looking at history, and it's showing off a character, and I think it's just really well done. And I was surprised how much I enjoy them. I actually have on my list of books to read of all the American Girl books. I would love to read Molly and Samantha because I think these were so well written and so not what I expected that I can't wait to dive into more of them. And I'm 26 years old, okay? I'm just putting that out there. So I definitely think that the American Girl books, I guess they're overrated in some regard, but I think in terms of how people look at them as simple marketing tools, I think that no, they're not. They're definitely underrated in that regard. They are much more than marketing. They're real books and they have real things to say. And finally, the last book I want to talk about is, it's a play, but it's in book form. I don't think it's ever been put on as a play. It's just written as a play. And it is called Verily, A New Hope by, I'm going to butcher this name, Ian Deutschner. To preface this, I am not a Star Wars fan. What I will say I'm a fan of is Shakespeare. So I found this at my local library. This book is basically a reinterpretation of Star Wars. It takes episode 4, the Star Wars saga, and it writes it out as a Shakespeare play, or in the style of Shakespeare. And I just think that is so creative, and I'm surprised that more people aren't talking about this, and that's why it's on this list. I think it is so creative and so clever. What I love about Shakespeare is how complex his plays are. So they're written in meter, but they also have to adhere to a plot. Like, my brain just can't comprehend how that could possibly be done. Like, people tell me, because I want to be a novelist, and people are like, oh my gosh, you've written that long of a novel? That's crazy, I could never handle that. And I'm like, you think that's hard? Look at Shakespeare. Like, that is hard. Writing a novel, piece of cake, compared to Shakespeare. Like, the fact that this guy did that is just amazing on all levels. Like, that's another reason why I don't know why people aren't talking about this. The fact that we've got a man who's literally replicating Shakespeare, except in the form of Star Wars, and it's incredible, and I loved it so much. And you might be wondering why I haven't read more of these plays, just because I've been busy. There's so many books on my list of things to read, but either way, I'm so pumped to read more of them, and I definitely recommend that you all check them out as well. So that's the end of my first ever Top 5 Wednesdays. Hope you enjoyed it. If you like this video, give it a thumbs up and subscribe to my channel. Want to see more from me? Check out my blog, keepcalmreadonblog.com. Also, I've started a new project. I'm reading only big books this year, and thus I have started a podcast/blog. You can check that out at ayearofbigbooksblog.wordpress.com. All links will be in the description to the books and the websites I've mentioned today. Thanks for listening, and I will talk to you all later.